Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope you all had an unbelievably awesome weekend. Hope you guys enjoyed the show on Friday. Dad was on the Hagman Show. Really great show from what I heard. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, absolutely blessed. Shaking down, running together, overflowing, so my cup cannot contain it. I'm blessed by the Most High God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it, regardless of the news. The news has no bearing on my being blessed. The news has no bearing on my being saved. The news has no bearing on me living forever now that I've been born again. The news has no bearing on any of that stuff. And so, couple quick stories I want to cover with you guys today. Some of the hits, the highlights of the weekend. There are 100 million Chinese now back under lockdown as Americans and Europeans flock to parks and beaches. 108 million people under lockdown in China. Beaches, parks reopen across the U.S. and Europe. New Zealand reopened schools on Monday. Italy plans to reopen most restaurants and businesses by week's end. New cases in Brazil. Russia's slow as deaths accelerate. In the U.S., all but four states have partially reopened. The WHO annual meeting begins with keynote speaker Xi. And South Africa reports largest single-day spike in cases. Now, let me share with you real quick what's going on. Yesterday, I spoke with a virologist and also a medical doctor who's been a friend of mine for many, many years. And he really believes that they had given a mass immunizational program to the people in Wuhan. And they had injected them with this coronavirus to test it on them to see what would happen. And then what ended up happening is these people became infected and they started transmitting it to other humans. And he said that's why it went through China. He feels there's 20 to 30 million dead over there in the one area in Wuhan alone. Now, again, these are speculations. We can't prove any of this. But there's a real high probability we're going to have multiple waves of this stuff. Not that it's going to do anything to us in this country, but it probably will if we reopen borders with China and start having Chinese nationals who have been infected with this or who are currently infected with it coming back into the United States. These borders should have been closed with China back 1st of January is when it should have happened. They should have, but remember the World Health Organization said we were being racist in our country by closing off travel to the Chinese. I mean, of course, everything's racism. Every time you say anything, you're being a racist or you're doing hate speech, it seems, nowadays, which is ridiculous. Let me give you a perfect example of this, what's going on, how crazy the society has become. On Saturday, it was Saturday, we decided to go over to it's an appliance store in Lakeland that basically also sells computers. And it'll come to me in just a second, the name of the place. I was so disgusted with them, I pushed it out of my Best Buy. And we went there, and the parking lot was, you know, partially full. And I thought, okay, well, at least they're open. So I walked up, and there were people standing out front in stanchions. And we were there to buy a washer and dryer. And a guy stopped me at the front door with a mask and threw his hand out and said, stop. And I said, oh, what's going on? He goes, do you have an appointment to come in? I said, no, we don't have an appointment. He goes, you have to have an appointment. And I'm like, well, why do we have to have an appointment? It doesn't make any sense to me. We're here to buy a washer and dryer. In the middle of why I'm saying that, he says to me, if you'll be quiet, I'll explain to you the rules. He said that to me. If you'll be quiet, I'll explain to you the rules. And I must admit, I lost it. I did. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I didn't lose it. And I said something to him that was ugly. I probably shouldn't have said it. The problem is I said it loud enough they probably heard me across the parking lot. And implying basically I'm going somewhere else to buy the washer and dryer, which I did say to him, I have no intentions on doing business again with, you know, Best Buy. That was my Saturday with those clowns. And I had a good friend of mine, Brad, was with me. My daughter was with me, my 17-year-old. My wife was with me. And I thought to myself, well, you did not walk in love. And I did not. And you think, well, should you have done that? Probably not. But should I have left? Absolutely yes. Should I not do business with them again? Absolutely yes. Why? Here I am, about to spend $500, $600, $700, $800 on a set of a washer and dryer, a cheap one. You know, here because I'm buying it for my daughter. And here I am basically trying to figure out how to get in here to give them my money to buy something. And I'm told to be quiet while they explain the rules to me. You know, I don't even know what to say about that. That is about as egregious as it can get from a marketing business standpoint. You need to be quiet while I explain to you the rules before you come in and spend your money, peasant. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I'm not going to be a peasant today. I'm not going to be spoken to like that. Now, it may have just been this guy was poorly trained. It may have been the management had no idea he was doing that. All he had to do was let me finish talking. I was talking for like 10 seconds and say, sir, we'd love to have you buy a washer and dryer. Let me see if I can go ahead and get you in real quick. I know you didn't know the rules. I apologize for this inconvenience. There you go. Instead of, peasant, be quiet so I can speak, and you have to be quiet. You know, we've got to figure out where we're going to draw the line as consumers and how much of this stuff we're going to put up with. And guys, quite frankly, I've about had enough of it after that. Like I said, I won't be doing business with them anymore, at least for the foreseeable future. By the way, another article from Zero Hedge says, there will be consequences. Did the Fed overreact to a natural disaster? Yeah, the Fed used the disaster to basically do what they wanted to do to cover their butts because of what they did with derivative exposure. That's what they did. And now the Fed is also saying, and this is really kind of nice, says we printed digitally futures. Gold soar after Powell vows a lot more we can do. It took Jerome Powell just 2 days to confirm what Zero Hedge said on Friday, namely that with the Fed expected to boost QE by over $3 trillion, assuming Powell doesn't cut rates negative, the Fed chair said that there's a lot more we can do. And just so everybody, including Ben Bernanke, understands what the Fed does, he added, we print money digitally. There you go, boys and girls. They're telling you what we've been telling you for the past 6 years. They print money digitally. I have posted this on the Health Masters website. Oh, by the way, you can't even make this stuff up. China, wow. Beijing begins construction of a P3 biolab. As the new trade tech diplomatic culture, in fact, everything but kinetic war between the U.S. and China is heating up by the hour, one would think that China would do everything in its power to defuse one of the core accusations by the Trump administration, namely that the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China was the source of a global coronavirus epidemic, going so far as to spark unofficial demands for hundreds of billions in reparations from Beijing for its criminal actions. Allegation which Peter Navarro on Sunday expanded when he accused China of deliberately seeding the world with coronavirus. Now they're opening up a new lab so they can do more biolab research. Maybe they can hire Lieberman if they get him out of jail if he hasn't already fled to a non-extradition country. That's that boy from Harvard who was selling them all their research on how to do all of this stuff. Oh, also, that little God TV spat in Israel between evangelicals and Jews. It's not going anywhere. This is making AP Wire now. And it says Jerusalem, an evangelical broadcaster who boasted of miraculously securing a TV license in Israel, now is being taken off the air trying to convert Jews to Christianity. And, you know, let me share something with you about this. These Jews take this really, really serious. If you go over there and you try to proselytize in Europe, in Israel, they'll put you in jail. Not only will they put you in jail, they will beat you before they put you in jail. And so you have to understand that. And it says right here in the AP News, it says, most Jews view any effort to convert them to Christianity as deeply offensive, a legacy of centuries of persecution and forced conversion at the hands of Christian rulers. In part, because of those sensitivities, evangelical Christians who generally believe salvation can only come through Jesus and preach the gospel rarely target Jews. We have a local Christian Bible college, university now, that regularly goes to Israel, and they're told, when you get over there, you can't try to convert people. You can't do that because you'll get in trouble. They'll put you in jail. They'll throw you out. And now this guy from God TV said, God has supernaturally opened the doors for us to take the gospel of Jesus into the homes and lives of the hearts of Jewish people. And he said, they will watch it secretly and they'll watch it quietly, he added. God is restoring his people. God is removing the blindness from our eyes. Well, that video was taken down. And so now we have to realize that these guys are probably going to lose their license in there. You know, and now the guy's trying to deny that they're trying to convert Jews to Christianity, which he already said they're going to do that. Now he basically says he didn't say it. So what a mess. And he goes on to say here, this messianic movement, which emerged in its modern form in the 70s, incorporates Jewish symbols and practices, but is widely seen as a form of Christianity. And it says all major Jewish denominations reject it, and Israel considers messianic Jews to be converts to another faith. And he goes, there's no such thing as a messianic movement, said Rabbi Tovia Singer, who leads an organization devoted to countering missionary activity aimed at Jews.
I'm going to repeat that so you guys really slipped out. This would sink in. There's no such thing, really, as the Messianic movement, said Rabbi Tovia Singer, who leads an organization devoted to countering missionary activities aimed at Jews. It's a dog whistle. It's a name that's used by evangelical Christian Protestants. Wow. And so you can read through this entire article here that came from AP News. And, you know, it's just interesting to me. Again, this is because of the Scofield Bible. And people are waking up to that mess, too. Yesterday, I have a good friend of mine who's a pastor, has a megachurch, and he preached one of the best services I've ever heard. I mean, it was he was calling out the New World Order, calling out the government, calling out this, calling out that, calling out this. And then he goes. I told him, you got an A on the sermon, but I said, I disagree with you a couple parts. But he hadn't called me up to ask me what those are yet. So I sent him an article and a video on Zionism and on the Scofield Bible that I posted on our website. And I told him, this is not what's going to happen. This pre-trib rapture, I hope it happens, but I don't believe it is because it's not substantiated by Scripture. It's pushed by the Scofield Bible. He said this yesterday. He said, excuse me, we as Christians are going to get raptured. The tribulation's never going to happen with us. We're not going to be asked to take the mark of the beast. Because once it starts, we're going to go up to the heavenly grandstands and watch what happens as hell unfolds on earth. Those are basically his words, paraphrased. I mean, that's pretty much exactly what he said. And I thought, bless his heart. This is what he's been told his whole life. And it's so sad because we're going to applaud up in the heavenly grandstands. Oh, wow, did you see that? That seal opened up and there are 5 million people died. Oh, wow, that's great. Here's another 100 million died over here. Whoa, heavenly grandstands. Let's watch the show like we're watching a gladiatorial combat while Satan destroys the planet. What the heck is this theology from, guys? Oh, what a mess. But anyhow, so that's what I saw this weekend from my evangelical friend, but who is actually waking up. He said one thing. He was so good. He goes, by the way, he goes, my Christian pastor friends from my other mega churches have basically told me that I'm making a horrible mistake by telling you guys this stuff about the government and what's really going on with this New World Order. And I thought, whoa. So here's the thing, guys. Here's why it's so easy for them to preach the rapture. Because the rapture is a great theology. Everybody wants to believe it, to be honest with you. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. Before hell breaks loose, you get pulled out. You get to go to sit with God in heaven, watch the show. You know, it's not substantiated by Scripture. The Scripture says, have these end times not be cut, but they were not cut short. Not even the elect would live. That doesn't mean they got taken out before it ever started. So the whole thing is this. It's an easy thing to teach because they can twist a few scriptures here and there and make that sound right. But here's the problem. If you tell a person you may have to go through the tribulation, okay? You may have to do this or that, or you may actually have to deal with some scarcity of some items, or you may have to choose between the mark of the beast or going to hell or buying and selling. If you're warning them this all could happen in this book of Revelation, which we know is the Bible, then what happens is people become more pensive as far as giving you all their money. I'm just being real direct now, okay? Because they may say, well, maybe I need to buy some food or some storable food, or maybe I needed to do this, or maybe I need to do that. But when you tell them, it doesn't matter because regardless of what happens, you're not going to have to deal with any of this, then it defuses the political aspect of Christianity too. That means Christians don't have to get involved with any political theater. Why? Because it doesn't make any difference. Even if hell breaks loose on the planet, they're going to be gone. It makes no difference. That's not what we're called for. We're here basically to be a mouthpiece for Jesus Christ, to convert the lost, to stand for God, stand for righteousness. See, I'd rather stand with God and be judged by the sinners than stand with the sinners and be judged by God. And this is the thing that Christian pastors are going to have to do. They're going to have to take a deep look at the Scofield Bible and see the underlying pinnings of the Balfour Declaration, Samuel Untermeyer, and the Oxford Press, and all the things that pushed this philosophy into Christianity starting in the 1850s, pushed really in 1910 hard by Scofield and Untermeyer. Remember, Untermeyer was the one who was involved with Woodrow Wilson in blackmailing him with the Princeton affair that Wilson had, and he's also the one who pushed the Federal Reserve Bank into the United States. It all ties right back together. But of course, nobody wants to talk about any of this stuff because it makes too much sense. Guys, just thought I'd start money off with a bang. Austin, what do you think, bud?
Well, exactly. And what's happened is now they've also used a lot of that theology, and they've tried to use it in turn to make people more complacent and more subservient to unconstitutional laws. Because then it's like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. If the government tells me to do this, I should just do it and be compliant. And then they try to pull up the Romans 13 and all the other stuff. So, yes, there's a lot of misinformation that's being told right now. I am very proud of your pastor friend, though, that he's at least talking about this. I've been very disappointed over the last 2 months to pretty much hear virtually zero pastors that I know of actually come out and call any of this stuff out. They've been very, very, very complacent with this. And so the fact that he's actually bringing this up is a great starting point. It's something that he's going to have to do slowly, which is exactly what he's doing, because if he drops the entire bomb on the population, I mean that figuratively, of everything that's going on, people are going to get pretty spooked pretty fast, especially people that are really, really asleep still. So it's one of those things you almost have to tread lightly with this, but you still have to get the information out there. You have to start throwing little tidbits and little facts and little truths out there to start waking them up to really what's going on, because the mass majority of people are completely brainwashed right now. The mainstream media has done an incredibly good job at instilling so much fear and paranoia that people are just flat out terrified to walk outside. I mean, just on my way here, I was driving in the office around the lake, a big lake going around. There's lakes everywhere around here. And I saw a couple, like a man and a wife, and they were walking down the sidewalk by themselves. Looks like they were getting exercise, and they were wearing masks. I'm joking. They were walking by themselves around the lake, wearing masks. And that's troubling to me, because there is no lawful order, even in Polk County right now, that says you have to wear a mask to go outside. I don't even know if any of them in Florida. I know there's some, they've said if you have to go into a building or if you're out in gatherings, you have to wear a mask, like I think in Miami or in Tampa. But as far as, for the most part, there is none of that going on right here. This is what people have been conditioned through the media to believe. Even DeSantis has said you don't have to. It's up to basically the county or the mayor individuals to put these guidelines in place. Remember, they're guidelines. There are no executive orders of somebody coming in and saying you cannot leave your house without a mask or you're going to be jailed. Now, some states have done that, and they've tried to implement it. Like New York's been doing that, and they're getting an immense amount of backlash from it. You have to understand that the more you comply with this, the more it's going to get worse as far as them dropping more and more totalitarian laws on you. Now, if you want to wear a mask or you want to stay in your house, you absolutely have the right to do so. But thinking that if you walk around, they've already shown wearing the mask doesn't prevent you from getting it. Wearing the mask only slows down the spread if you're actively carrying it and you're contagious, because basically you're not coughing or having droplets of spit or saliva come out when you're coughing and hacking excessively because of the virus. That's all it does, guys. The virus goes right through the mask as far as if you're breathing, but it prevents you from basically spreading out projectiles whenever you're coughing and hacking. So the context of walking around with your wife around the lake outside when it's 20-mile-an-hour winds right now and wearing a mask with nobody around is going to somehow protect you is ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous, but people believe what they hear on mainstream media. And then we see more and more of these just dystopian things that they're bringing out right now. There's been photos now that have resurfaced in France. They've tried to bring up basically a school that they had limited number of pupils, manned by school teachers wearing masks, and they told the kids that they have play squares outside that they can only play in for recess. And there's a photo of it, and it's grossly troubling, guys. There's like 8 kids outside, and they have these 6x6 chalked off areas, and the children are told they're not allowed to go outside of these little boxes, or else they basically have to go back inside and sit inside by themselves. And half the kids are kind of sitting there with like their head down, looking around, because they don't know what to do, because if they go outside the box, they get kicked in bedside, but they want to be outside so bad, they're just sitting there in this little chalk box that they're told to stay in. Guys, you can't come up with any more sadistic programming to put inside a child's head. They've already shown that the actual death rate and even hospitalization rate of young children with this virus is virtually next to nothing. It's like a 0.002%. It's nothing. I mean, even under 18 years old. And to do this to these little children is so troubling to me, because all it is full-blown rhetoric and training to get them conditioned to follow orders. That's all it is, guys. There is nothing that they have shown that has prevented people spreading this stuff from staying 6 feet apart. There's nothing. There's not a single research study that has come out now and proved if you stay 6 feet apart, you don't contract this at all. They've actually shown that there's very little research proving any of this stuff that they've said. This has all been just come up with. We're experts, allegedly, so we say it, and if we say it goes, and you have to follow us. There's now been massive protests as far as haircut protests on Saturday in Michigan, because an individual, 77-year-old barber Carl Mankey, basically was still giving haircuts even after the governor told him he had to shut down his business. And he's like, I'm 77 years old. I've been cutting hair for almost 60 years. He said that. He goes, I'm not going to stop. He goes, I'm a small-town barber, and I'm just trying to make a living. Well, of course, law enforcement showed up. They stripped him of his license. They forced him to shut down, essentially by gunpoint. And by gunpoint, I don't mean they basically stuck a MP5 in his face and told him to get on the ground. But when you have five or six law enforcement officers show up, and they got their hands on their gun, and they're telling you you're going to shut down your business right now. Essentially, guys, that's shutting you down at gunpoint. You can twist it and say, well, they didn't technically SWAT raid him and throw a flashbang in and zip tie everybody in the hair salon and drag them out in a paddy wagon, but they showed up in excessive force with law enforcement to make sure he was not going to open and strip him of his license. So now they're having a giant protest on the 20th, pretty much all these barbers that are going to go out there, and they're going to be giving haircuts by the Michigan Capitol on May 20th, an act of defiance. Now, whether or not they're going to have massive blowback from this, they may. I hope it gets huge. I hope a ton of people show up. I hope they have a significant amount of support. Remember, Michigan's still an open carry state. Ironically, Florida's not, sadly as that is. But, you know, not that I want to run around with a rifle all the time, but sometimes you got to show everybody that you're there, you're here, we're all armed. They did this very clearly with the gun protest back in, what was it, February or January, wherever it was. And there's no incidents. Nobody shot each other. Nobody got in a gunfight. But there's kind of like that mutual respect to say, hey, we can bring law enforcement, and we can bring a SWAT team in, and we can try to basically start arresting people. This is probably going to go excessively bad for everybody, so we're just going to let them be. So I really hope they have a very, very strong demonstration on Wednesday that shows this isn't going to work anymore. Because now, if you guys saw, there's a video that surfaced. It was actually very troubling down in Broward County with Bertha Henry. And she is basically on the camera. She's a county administrator, Broward County administrator, and she's discussing how the government in Broward County is handling all this. And she blatantly says, we need to make sure when we have to go into somebody's residence and they're infected and we have to separate them from their family, we have to make sure they're taken care of and have the proper treatment. She literally is parroting what the WHO director said a month and a half ago. This is in Broward County, Florida, guys. You can watch it. Bertha Henry. I'm going to try to put the video up on the website, on our website, so you can see it. I don't know where these people think they have any type of legal justification to go in, and this is what goes into the H.R. 666 bill that they've been trying to push. And a lot of people say, oh, no, they're not going to do anything with that. You can pull up the bill, and it is so stinking vague. It's like reading a Swiss cheese bill. They can pretty much interpret it and do whatever they want, including $100 billion in grants to go to pretty much anybody that they deem to handle what's going on over there. And it even says in there, it says the term eligibility, and it goes in to talk about qualified health care, school-based health clinic, hospitals, academic medical, nonprofit organizations, higher education. And at the very bottom, this is also is eligible. And any other type of entity that is determined by the Secretary of State to be eligible. Okay, so we got $100 billion in grants that are going, and I quote, to trace and monitor the contacts of infected individuals and to support the quarantine of such individuals through mobile health units and, as necessary, testing individuals and providing individuals with services related to testing and quarantining at their residence. I don't know where this is going to go. I really hope this bill doesn't go through. But anytime you see a bill get $100 billion attached to it and have at the bottom of it in Section H of definitions any type of entity that is determined by the secretary to be eligible, that pretty much tells you right there what they're planning on doing. And that means for not any lawful purpose. That means they're planning on doing whatever they want with the money, including bringing contractors in that they deem eligible to handle quarantine and testing and contact tracing. This is what everybody needs to be aware of right now, and this is something that we're seeing over and over and over again, state by state. All this is going on. Now we see in Los Angeles now, Los Angeles inmates are now being released from L.A. County and not even being tested for the virus before being released from jail, a county official reveals. An office with Los Angeles County Office of Diversion and Reentry told L.A. Times in a report that numerous inmates are being released from jail over concerns of coronavirus spreading, but have never administered a single coronavirus test. The LA Times reported, "We slowed our work down in court and shifted our resources to address the number of people released from jail." He said inmates in LA County are generally not being tested for COVID-19 before they are released, and many service providers are not checking for symptoms when they arrive. So now we're literally carte blanche immunity giving inmates releases from prison and not even testing them to see if they're even positive for coronavirus, all on the guise of we're trying to protect them. Now, I already told you guys the study they did at the Tennessee penitentiary. They did 2 weeks ago, and they tested the inmates, and 53% of them tested positive for coronavirus, yet hardly any of them, like 98% of them, were asymptomatic. Like, six of them went in the hospital. One of them ended up dying. He was 76 years old. But the rest, the other 1,355 inmates, asymptomatic. They had no idea they had coronavirus. Nothing at all. Yet they tested positive. So we're justifying that by now releasing some of these individuals from prison, a lot of them being repeat offenders, a lot of them being violent criminals, as we saw with the individual that was released in Hillsborough County, 23-year-old, basically full-time inmate, has been in and out of prison since he was 17, was arrested and charged on heroin possession and heroin distribution, went to prison. They released him under this whole COVID-19 Inmate Release Act. And the day after he got out, he went and shot somebody in the neighborhood and ended up getting arrested again for second-degree murder. You can't make this stuff up, guys. And so it's almost like they're telling us at the same time, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to wear a mask, you have to obey us. It doesn't matter what we say, you will obey us. But at the same time, they're releasing inmates out of jail that they know are going to start more civil unrest. Very, very strange thing to see right now with everything that's going on. And something I just want to kind of bring up, Dad, that we have to stand firm in the truth. If you want to stay in your house, if you want to wear a mask while you're driving around, you can do so freely. This is America. But on the context flip side of that, if I don't want to wear a mask and I want to travel freely and I don't want to stay in my home, I also have that right. Understand that it is the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Suggestions. There are no guidelines with the Bill of Rights. It is a list of rights. What they are trying to do now in forcing people to do these things and extract people from their homes and find people wearing masks, this is 100% anti-constitutional and does not follow American Constitution law whatsoever. That's why so many people that are fighting this stuff, like the lady in Texas who so strongly fought when she got arrested in 7 days in jail by that out-of-control judge because she refused to apologize for keeping her business open. This is something everybody needs to be aware of and make sure we're getting the truth out there that people have the right to do either one. The protection of everybody does not mean that our rights are dissolved, guys. Please understand that. This is a hard concept for a lot of people because so many people have been trained, and this is why they've done this over the last 20 to 30 years. They've trained everybody that you don't have a right to make your own choice, but in the same context, you can do whatever you want and you're not responsible. But at the same time, you have to make sure you're doing it for the common good of everybody. It's the most convoluted communism ideology I've ever seen. You see the hardcore liberal women say, my body, my right, nobody can tell me I can't execute my unborn child. And at the same time, they're coming out now and saying, you don't have a right not to be vaccinated. You have to get a shot because it's for the greater good. They go back and forth and talk out of both sides of their mouth. And so any time you see that with somebody, they are unstable in all their ways. It discusses this in the Bible. So when you hear people go back and forth and are not consistent and keep going, oh, well, you can do this, but you can't do this, but you have to do this, but you can't do this, and they kept going back and forth on the line, left, right, left, right, left, right. They are unstable in all their ways. Please understand that. And when you hear people say that, I strongly suggest, in my opinion, you take what they say with a very, very minor grain of salt, because that's one thing Dad and I have kept pretty consistent on the show. Things change, things adapt, we go with different things as far as what happens, but in most cases, we have kept very, very strong on our constitutional patriot ideology, our Christian ideology, and our health ideology. Be aware of that. Stay strong. Do what you need to do. Take care of your body. Keep your immune system strong with vitamin C and D3. We've already seen in numerous research studies is one of the best things you can do to maintain a healthy immune system, Dad.
Austin, you're absolutely right. We have to maintain our immune system, and we have to maintain the Constitution, what's left of it. I mean, George Bush cursed and said it was just a piece of paper. I mean, he had no interest in keeping the Constitution alive, especially signing that Patriot Act into law. And I mean, and Ron Paul warned us about this for years. I've warned people about this for years. It just is what it is, what these clowns have done. And now we have God-fearing people who are trying to feed their children being put into jail because they refuse to close their businesses down that they've built. I mean, it blows my mind. It's like that thing at Best Buy. I mean, who owns Best Buy? Who owns the stock for Best Buy? Is that another BlackRock-owned corporation? I mean, who's pushing the buttons over there? I don't know. I'm just asking questions now. Who knows? Who controls these guys? Now, we've got a former federal prosecutor. Her name is Terry. She wrote me a letter this week. I'm going to read part of it to you real quick. In fact, I just got it this morning and said that she basically bought a signal-blocking Faraday bag for her cell phone. She said, I believe they're tracking us already. He says, and so when I don't need help with driving directions, I plan to make it a habit to put my phone in the bag, especially in the state of Washington. I don't have an adjective to describe the horrible overreaching of the governor. Basically, she sent me this information that says about Oklahoma's myriad of plans to force vaccinations, including auto checkpoints, handcuffs, and sending the noncompliant off to military bases. And I suppose the government will keep the cars. Stuff like that might be disinformation. She says she doesn't know, but the thought of it makes the blood flow from her face. And she goes, this is why I'm reading the letter right now. Sadly, my relationship with my best friend and prayer partner is really damaged by my desire for liberty, truth, and the Constitution, and his cowardly close down the world and hide stance. One last point. He said, maybe God allowed this quarantining so the saints could get before him, repent, worship. Instead, most saints are self-medicating with Netflix, etc., and dreaming of when life will go back to normal. It's a rare online pastor who is talking about national and personal repentance, and I will also end their resistance. And then she said that she also heard me on the latest show with Dave Hodges, and she said it was spectacular. And so, guys, thank you for that. I've had multiple phone calls on that last show I did with Dave Hodges. I'll be honest with you, I've done so many shows with him over the years. So I remember a couple of them were really good. Apparently this one's really good because I've had so many phone calls about it. But with Dave, I really like Dave. And, you know, I've known Dave for many years. You know, I've been on his show many times. And he's finally come around now. I mean, because he was like Austin and I were. I mean, he was trying to give Trump the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of the doubt. But now he's starting to realize that, hey, wait a minute, this is not working. You know, he doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt. People say, well, why is Trump able to do such evil, but yet he appears to do such good? You've got to understand that in the highest probability, I'd give it a 99.99% probability, he's a high-level Masonic leader, Mason. That's how he got into the contracting and all the businesses and all the stuff that he was involved with in New York City. And the Masonic lodges are based in Kabbalah.
Without the Kabbalah, there would be no Masonic lodges. Without the Zohar, there would be no Masonic lodges. And all of this stuff allows these people who are involved with it to lie to other people to obtain their end goal, which is the rebuilding of the Third Temple and the installing of the Antichrist. Trump's own son-in-law and his own daughter are Kabbalists. Don't forget that, folks. I mean, apparently we're the only ones who talk about that on our show and maybe a few other ones. But, I mean, we've got to understand they're members of Shabbat. And this is Trump's son-in-law, Jared, and Ivanka, his daughter. Ivanka has rejected Jesus Christ, denounced the virgin birth, and basically is converted to a different religion and practices Kabbalah. And Trump, being in the Masonic lodges, is neck deep in the Kabbalah. So it allows these folks to do whatever they want to do in order to accomplish. It's in other words, it's okay with what they're taught to do this, to lie, cheat, and steal, and to pretend like you're a Christian. It doesn't make any difference what you do. I mean, listen to Trump's language. He's using God's name in vain, and he curses and all the other things that he does. I mean, openly in public. I mean, in coliseums. You know, on news conferences. I mean, look at his demeanor. It's like Howard Stern. Don't get me wrong. I'm not Howard Child is the poster child for the New World Order. Okay, but Howard Stern said last week, and I read it to you on Friday, that Donald Trump would not associate with you and me from a social distancing, a social thing. And in other words, he would invite us to dinner, you know, at his personal home, you know, with staff, just me and you and our wives and Donald Trump and his wife. That ain't going to happen. he doesn't want to deal with that, okay? He's an actor on a stage put in a position of authority with no real power to read a script. As long as we got that, you know, we got it, because our compromised government has been totally usurped. By the way, the Chinese ambassador to Israel, this is interesting, was found dead in his home, sparking an avalanche of rumors amid tensions with the U.S. I smell one thing on this: Mossad. God, they'd love to kill people. I'm not saying they did it. I just smell it on it. Chinese ambassador has been found dead in Tel Aviv. 57-year-old ambassador Dewey had only assumed this post in February 2020 in the midst of the coronavirus epidemic, due to which he entered a two-week mandatory self-quarantine upon his arrival. He had previously been China's envoy to the Ukraine, and is survived by his wife and son, who are not yet in the country. Police reported outside his residence in Herzliya, which lies outside just north of the Israeli capital, Tel Aviv, the number one homosexual destination of the world, conducting an investigation, but have told the media Wee's death isn't being treated as suspicious. All right. However, a number of commentators are highlighting the context of tensions between the U.S. and China inside of Israel as being essentially in a state of behind-the-scenes diplomatic war after the Secretary of State Pompeo's visit there last week. Pompeo sought to urge the Israelis against trading or investing with China. Now suddenly the ambassador is dead, especially the agreement for China to start opening the Haifa port in 2021. Guys, you know, Mossad. Oh yeah, that's right. And so this is just really important that we understand that this whole thing is about bringing in a new world order and a new world religion. And that we've got to get that. And if we get that, then it starts making sense. If we don't get that, what ends up happening is we just get kind of confused about the whole thing. The new world order, of course, be under Noahide laws. Also, a record fleet of 117 fully loaded tankers is bringing super cheap crude to China. In other words, they're just trying to get rid of it. While the rest of the world is tentatively coming out of lockdowns, China is taking advantage of the cheapest crude oil in decades to stock up on the demand, is willing to return to the world's largest oil importer. Bloomberg reported on Friday that, citing tanker tracking data it has compiled, at present a total of 117 very large crude carriers, each capable of shipping 2 million barrels of oil, are traveling to China for uploading at its ports between the middle of May and the middle of August. If those super tankers transport standard-sized crude cargoes, it means that China expects to receive at least 230 million barrels of oil over the next 3 months, according to Bloomberg. So, guys, so China is taking advantage because, remember, China has to import their oil. So they know if they're going into a trade war or whatever they run into, they've got to be stocked up to protect themselves in the event that we decide not to ship them oil anymore. Austin, bud, what do you think?
There's some crazy stuff going on. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Seeing all this that's continually happening, you can see that something's brewing. This whole thing is clearly not, I mean, the concept of locking people down and the virus and everything else, that's very clear what's going on. But you can see, if you start looking at stuff like this, how much more behind the scenes even what else is going on. Because this is something that's so strange. I mean, you know we're not being told the truth. You see all this rhetoric back and forth with China and the U.S. You see the entire global economy starting to implode. You know, there's a high probability. The only way out of this, and I was talking to a finance guy the other day about this, the only way out of this, if they keep passing these bills in the United States, these multi-trillion dollar stimulus, like those other $3 trillion one they want to do to burn through more money, the only way out of this is essentially a global reset of currency. You can see that coming now. Because, I mean, the debt can only go for so long. And what's happening is now, I think we're in the final stages of the U.S. dollar. You know, it may not be next month or even next year, but we're seeing the demise of it. And the only reason it's lasted this long as a world currency is because of the petrodollar and because the sheer size and production of the United States and what we've been able to produce and consume for so long. And so now it's basically like this is the Hail Mary. We're going to start printing it, stimulus in it, digitizing it, everything we can do to basically clear out as much cash and as much wealth as we possibly can. That's why I've warned people as far as the market. I said, dude, they're going to prop up the market right now. But I can promise you there is going to be a significant drop again. May not be this day, may not be next week, but it's going to happen. And so the only reason the Dow, Steve, keeps floating up to what it is because the $4 trillion the Fed has said that they're going to pump into the market. And again, all this did was relocate more wealth. They're taking all this money and all these bankers and all these high-end people of what's going on. And I saw a movie the other day, and it was discussing some of the stuff of Mickey Cohen, the old Jewish gangster, basically in L.A. that essentially was the king of L.A. from the mob for a short period of time, and just all the incessant violence and racketeering and prostitution and drug running and everything they were doing. And it was interesting because, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine about it, and I said, it's interesting how you see a lot of these guys and how they became so wealthy and they were allowed to get away with so much, and nothing's really changed now. You just kind of have it on a different pedestal. You know, you have Jeff Bezos, who is the allegedly insanely wealthy, but you see that Amazon paid virtually hardly any income tax. You see how Carnival Cruise Lines are a multi-billion-dollar industry, Princess, all of them, and almost all of them are owned under one giant umbrella, but yet they're based out of the United States. And again, owned by numerous people in Israel and different areas that they offshore that business, so they pay virtually zero state or federal income tax. You see this more and more the digger you deep, and it's funny because if you have anybody normal, a normal American citizen that's working hard and trying to do this and trying to make money and trying to stack some cash and trying to become wealthy, if they do anything like that, they're immediately charged with tax evasion. Or better yet, you have individuals that are law-abiding citizens that go and deposit cash in their accounts out of their, you know, different food trucks or gas stations, and all of a sudden the FBI comes in and seizes their account and seizes their money and charges them with structuring when there's been zero crime committed. So it's interesting to me how you see some of these individuals come insanely wealthy, yet pay virtually no taxes, completely side skirt on a numerous different things, get away with almost anything they want, become pretty much a global or United States retail monopoly. Nothing's ever done. It's business as usual. Oh, it's great. He's great. He's a billionaire. He does this. He does that. But yet when the law-abiding citizen, the local upper middle class individual tries to do something like that, they make sure they eviscerate them. This is the nature narrative that we're starting to see now, as you see the upper bankers that run the country do what they want, their cronies do what they want, and that's one of the issues that I've always had with, and I've said this before, one of the biggest things that concerned me about Trump, you know, he was great as far as his speeches, his rallies, everything was great. But the one thing that always troubled me was how much debt he got involved with those mob boys and those banker boys and the Vegas and everything else he was involved in. And they pretty much bankrolled him and pulled him out of that hole. I don't know anybody that can get involved with bankers deep. I've known some people that have gotten involved with banks deep in different things that they shouldn't have been involved in. I've known them. I've stayed out of it, but I've watched it. I've seen it. And I'm telling you right now, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, they own you at some point in time. It happens every time, guys. So to believe that somebody's able to get that deep in with the banks and the mobs and come out of it unscathed and completely on their own, and they did it all on their own, and there's no strings attached to anything they do, is simply being naive. I mean, you saw what happened. We saw what happened in Vegas with the mob. We saw what happened in Los Angeles with the mob. We've seen what happened in New York. We've seen it. And it's not like it went away, guys. They just legitimized it more and figured out ways around it. The mob and all stuff still exists. Everybody looks, well, they ran them out. They don't do that anymore. Okay, cough, cough, cough. I got property in Polk County that I can sell you, some Rogue Grove swamp property you never build anything on if you're that naive. I mean that sarcastically. So understand what's going on right now, and we're seeing probably one of the greatest wealth transfers and one of the biggest financial coups on the American populace we have ever seen before coming down right underneath this virus, and most people are so blinded, all they want to do is say, hey, I just want my $1,200, man, all my free $1,200, all my $800 a week, and, you know, my unemployment. Just give me my money and I'll be fine. And at the same time, the bankers are literally taking over the country, and guys, it's just starting. That's why I've warned everybody, and so did Dad. These loans that they gave out, and these payroll protection loans, and these high interest rate loans, and everything they were doing, remember, they blatantly said in the bill that you have to be financially stable and profitable in order to get approved for this. If you didn't have assets that you could put up as collateral, if you didn't have machinery, equipment, property, any of that stuff, they basically were going to decline you. In some cases, they may give out little petty loans, or they gave you, you know, a $20,000, $30,000 loan, whatever. But these boys that were doing these half a million, million, two, three, four, $5 million loans, they had to back something up behind it. And remember, they blatantly said 2 weeks ago that if there's any type of fraud, there's any issues whatsoever, they don't care. Regardless, they're doing a full-blown audit on everybody, and if there's anything they see, they're charging you criminally for taking these loans. Guess what happens when they take you criminally? They charge you criminally, and they now have your assets as collateral on the loan. You default on the loan, you go to jail, and they seize your entire company and all your assets. That's what happens next. So be aware of that. Use wisdom if you had to get these loans. Be very, very clear that you're basically dancing with the bankers. And they don't play games. They love to seize stuff. They already did this in the Great Depression. They were notorious for this. Dad used to tell me stories about my granddad when all that happened over there, and the bankers. They would seize these giant farms for pennies on the dollar, and they did it repeatedly. They're doing it again now, and they're prepping to get to it. They're getting prepped to do it now. We haven't even seen the beginning stages of that yet. We're still in the shock and awe fear propaganda of the COVID-19. We don't even know what's going to happen next year, especially when they try to actually, the Treasury and the budget, I don't even know how this is going to work out and how they're going to try to convolutely do it with this much money that they're pumping out. I don't know. So it's going to be a very interesting ride to see. That's why I've encouraged everybody, have some stored food. If you don't have some buckets already, buy some from us or buy some from the store. Go buy beans and rice. I don't even care. Buy something. Have some backup water. Have some backup vitamins. And by all means, have some backup ammo and rifles and know how to use them effectively and efficiently. That's what I'm telling you right now, because this whole phase right now, we're starting to remember, I told you this was going to happen a couple months ago. They're going to bring us into this shock and awe, shock and awe, shock and awe. Now they're slowly starting to lift some sanctions in some states. Oh, we're going to let you go outside and go to the beach now. I beg your pardon?
You're going to let go to the beach now? The beaches that I pay taxes on every year? The beaches that I keep clean every time I go? The beaches that I take my family to and I'm entitled to? Because that is basically state areas that we pay money for. They don't own the ocean. You can't tell me I can't use the water, but they're making everybody believe they have the right to tell you, you can go do this now. We're going to let you go out and social distance. Hey, but you can't be more than, you know, 10 people at a time, or we're going to have to disperse you. They're slowly lifting it now, so everybody's coming up for air going, oh, we're coming back, we're coming back, we're coming back. Guys, this was just the first wave of attack. I promise you, they have more stuff up their sleeve in order to cripple the economy. They just haven't played their card yet. They're getting ready, Dad.
So well said. In fact, it's interesting. They're saying that churches now in a lot of states are going to be allowed to have their services again with proper social distancing, with no singing, no praising to God, no bringing in the Holy Spirit, none of that. See, God loves you, loves it when you sing to Him, like the Holy, Holy, Holy song I played a few weeks ago on the show that Stan had done. God loves it. He wants the praises of His people because, quite frankly, He's earned it. He's deserved it. And it's not because He has to have it in order to survive. That's not true. But He wants to know that He's got that relationship with you, that you love Him, and that He loves you, and you're supporting Him. I know that sounds kind of weird, but He really, really wants a relationship where He can walk in the cool of the garden in the evening with you. And this is so true with what I was saying about the loans. So many of these big companies are giving the loans back now that they're having their attorneys and their legal teams read through what they signed. Now they're just giving the money back because they don't want any part of it. Why would they get millions and tens of millions of dollars back? Well, it's kind of like that one movie with I believe it was McCandles with John Wayne, and his grandson got kidnapped, and they were going to basically get $1 million back then, which is like $30, $40 million now, for the return of his son, the grandson. And McCandles basically puts the money together, puts it in a suitcase, and then says to the guy, he goes, I don't care, it's your fault, my fault, anybody's fault. It doesn't make any difference to me. If something happens to that boy, I'm going to blow your head off. And he had a shotgun aimed right at his head. And see, that's what they're doing with the loans. I don't care whose fault it is. If it's your CFO's fault, if it's your fault, if it's your banker's fault, I don't care. Something happens with that money and you make it fungible, and it goes where it's not supposed to go. You do anything in that money, we're going to charge you criminally, and we're going to take your stuff. In other words, we're not going to blow your head off, but they're going to charge you criminally. This is what they do, and it's what they've always done. By the way, a third of jail inmates now nationwide are being set free in an unprecedented coronavirus jailbreak. Now, I'm going to make a comment here, which may get a few people aggravated, but that's okay. These people that are in jail for smoking pot, and I'm not talking about distributing or selling or whatever. I'm talking about just a jail for smoking pot and got caught with a joint at a traffic stop or had a planted on them. Turn those people loose. Heck with this. This is insane. Just turn them loose. But these guys that are going out and killing people and getting turned loose, these career criminals that are all they are is thieves and murderers, what the heck are you thinking? Oh, that's right. More anarchy. More problems. The Burning Platform came out with a really good article, and I've posted it. It's called The Silver Lining. And what it's talking about is Ayn Rand. Now, I don't like Ayn Rand. Ayn basically spelled her name like basically like Einsop is what she did. You know, she was a hardcore Kabbalist, but she's one of those Kabbalists that had to tell you what they were doing in advance. Here's a little quote. We are fast approaching the stage of the ultimate inversion. Here we go. Remember, they're pushing inversion. The stage where the government is free to do anything it pleases while the citizens may act only by permission, which is the stage of the darkest periods of human history, the stage of rule by brute force. This is a book that Ayn Rand wrote called Capitalism. She was also a known sexual pervert. Of course, she's part of a sex death cult. The Unknown Ideal Appendix, The Nature of Government. And now, this is what she discusses. Of course, she's doing that white magic. It is the stage of which every would-be dictator dreams, where his whims are absolute, and everything everyone else says, does, or thinks must comport with those whims, even impossible though it would be when they are contradictory. Whoa! Guys, read this article. Realize that they're telling us what they want to do.
flattening the curve to ensure adequate hospital space for the wave of coronavirus patients that hasn't happened is flattening the hospitals, leading to empty rooms and wards and layoffs for medical workers. Bankruptcies will follow. Lost jobs, shuttered business, just the collateral damage. Read this entire article by burningplatform.com. I have posted it on the Health Masters website. Guys, I love you. And I appreciate you. And I prayed for you this morning. It's my privilege, my honor, and my responsibility to do that for you because you are family. I love you guys. I mean, this is the quickest hour on radio. This is a fast show today. And again, thank you for supporting Health Masters, for getting your multiple vitamins from us, your vitamin C, your D, your potassium iodine, your coconut MCT oil. Because when you do that, it allows us to do this show. It pays for the show because we're not having sponsors on the show. And it allows us to present this show to you commercial-free. That's the one thing that's the biggest comment we get over and over. No commercials, no commercials, no commercials. We love it, we love it, we love it, we love it. Guys, I'm not going to subject you guys to that. All I ask you to do is please support the show. Get your multiple vitamins. Heck, get your toothpaste from us. Just get stuff from us that you know you're going to use it anyhow. And just thank you for your support. And thank you so much for the contributions that you make to the show. You guys are absolutely awesome. I love you. I'll also go ahead and finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, and we've told you guys, and we will keep holding true to this. I told Dad, and we agreed with this. I've said this before. We're not ever going to have commercials on this show. This is a 57, 58, 59-minute show, however long it runs. Basically an hour show, no commercials, whole thing. Health Masters funds it. And that was something I was adamant about with Dad when we first started talking about this show 5 years ago. Because I don't know about you. I know a lot of people agree with me, but I hate commercials. Hate commercials. That's why I don't watch TV. Just can't stand them. Don't want to be exposed to them. Don't want the rhetoric. Don't want the subliminal messaging. And I told Dad, I said, if we can't fund it through Health Masters, we can't do this show because I'm not going to make our audience listen to commercials every 15 or 30 minutes. And we've held true to that, and we still will continue to do so. And we can do so from the support of all of our listeners and customers. So again, thank you for helping Health Masters. Thank you for taking care of us, spreading this news, getting this information out there. Like Dad said, even just buying your toothpaste or a bottle of multivitamins, anything. You know, thank you for the support. It keeps Health Masters running. It keeps the show alive and well. And that's what we're going to keep doing as long as we physically can. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Let us know if you need anything at all. 1-800-726-1834, healthmasters.com. We're here to help you out the best we can. Enjoy yourself, stay prepped, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.